Can you believe it's Memorial Day? I think we definitely lost April and May, don't you think? Just gone. What an unusual April and May. Hey, I want to talk to you today about altars of remembrance and sacrifice. And being that it is Memorial Day, I thought we'd start by talking a little bit about memory. I was reading a kind of a cute little story for those that are computer literate. This is kind of a computer literate story, joke, if you will. This guy said, "Yesterday I walked down a street in a new development, and the houses were numbered 64K, 128K, 256K, 512K, and 1 megabyte, 1 MB. And then he posted in the end of it, "It was a trip down memory lane." Oh, okay, well, that was just not quite the response I thought I'd get from that, but I try, you know, I try. Kim says those are groaners. Well, the classic is one that maybe you've heard before, and I love it because, you know, I'm getting a little older too, a little older as well, and it's about the family that, the husband and wife, that were well into their 90s, and they both were complaining to each other about the fact that they were, that the other one was losing memory, you know. And so they went to the doctors, and the doctor simply said, "Hey, you know, you're 90-some years old. Why don't you just try writing things down more than you are now and see if that helps?" And so one night they're sitting in their living room, and the man says to the wife, "I'm going into the kitchen and getting some ice cream. Would you like some?" And the wife said, "You know, I would really love a hot fudge sundae." "Okay, I'll get you a hot fudge sundae." She said, "Well, make sure you put the nuts on it. You forgot the nuts the last time." He said, "Okay." She said, "Remember, write it down." He said, "Oh, no, I don't need to write it down. Forget that. So he goes into the kitchen. Well, about 15 minutes later, he comes walking into the living room carrying two plates of bacon and eggs. And he hands one to his wife, and she looks down, shaking her head, and says, "See, this is why I told you to write it down. Look, you forgot my toast again." Ba-dum-bum. Well, it was a little better than the first one. Maybe you can relate more to that one, I don't know. But why is it that we as humans, you know, we have sometimes a hard time remembering God's previous faithfulness? Are you hearing me? It seems like sometimes we have short memories, you know. I say that because, you know, we know when we take the time to think about it, when we think about God's faithfulness, He has been with us through so much. You know, He has shown us that He is with us and faithful. I was thinking just about, you know, what's going on right now in our world. And I was remembering back to, you know, 911 and how, you know, after that terrible crisis, many people did return to church that had left the church. And some, for the first time, began attending churches. But the amazing thing is now that we have the benefit of history, we can see that that was very short-lived, you know, that within 1 year when they did the surveys, church attendance was back down to the level that it was pre-911. And again, it makes the point, you know, it's that short memory. It's a part of it, isn't it? We forget what God has done. You know, God realizes how we often forget what He has done for us. And that's why in Scripture, over and over again, God has told people to remember, to memorialize. In fact, the meaning of the Hebrew word that's translated in your Bible most often as memorial really has the root in remembering. And that's what God has said. You know, when when God brought Israel out of the land of Egypt, not only did he tell them to remember by having the Passover be celebrated as a memorial, so that every year on that date they could remember what God has done. But when he brought them to the foot of Mount Sinai, you remember that awesome occasion when God's presence came down upon the mountain and it began to quake, and there was fire and the trumpet sound and lightning and thunder, and how awesome that might have been. But God had told Moses at that time to build an altar of stones to commemorate that meeting, to commemorate the establishment of the covenant. Then again, when Moses, who had faithfully led the people for 40 years through the wilderness, when God was to call him to heaven and Joshua was to take over, the first thing that he had Joshua do when he parted the Jordan River as they entered into the promised land, we were there where that happened, and as they went through the river, the priests were to pick up a stone, and they were to actually make a 12-stone altar or memorial to the Lord to remember. And they wanted to commemorate the place and the act of God's faithfulness through the building of these type of memorials or these type of altars, if you will. You know, God had also commanded people to do these things, like build altars, as a way to demonstrate to the generations that come God's faithfulness. One of the greatest things you can do as parents or grandparents, like we are, is to demonstrate God's faithfulness by sharing the memories, sharing the stories of what God has done in your life with them. I read one time, I forget who wrote it, maybe you can look this quote up, I haven't been able to find the author. It says, "Christianity is never more than one generation away from extinction." Isn't that an interesting thing? You know, and I think as America, we need to wake up to that truth. To wake up to that truth and remember what's been going on in America that has been, up to this point, you know, really leading people away from God, not getting closer to Him. And I really believe that what's going on right now is, at very least, a wake-up call. At the very least, a wake-up call. And you know, for many of us, I think probably for all of us, the past 3 months, so to speak, or give or take a little bit, the past 3 months have altered the script that we were kind of writing for our lives. The script that we were kind of writing for our lives. In other words, you know, I think that if you're like me, there are times whenever you think about, okay, where am I going in my life, you know? And you start thinking about, you know, what your goals are for the next year or 5 years or maybe even be longer than that. And that becomes, if you will, kind of a script. That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, what happened, I think, to many of us in the last 3 months is that script that we thought we were writing has been altered in some ways. Yes? And maybe we needed a reset, again, to use the kind of computer terms. Maybe we needed a reset. You know, I love the Bible. You know I do. And I love the lessons that it teaches us. And I love the fact that when we study to show ourselves approved, the Holy Spirit can take the Word of God and use it to speak into our lives now. You know, the Bible is not just a history book. We have lots of history books, but it's not a history book. Matter of fact, not everything that ever happened is written in the Bible. It's not intended to be a history book, but it is intended to be a living word. And it is intended in many ways to be a living word of remembrance, right? I remember when God looked out upon the earth and he said to himself, there has to be a reset. Do you remember when it was, Dee? What was it? Yeah, it was indeed. You know, we've talked about this many times, Dan, in Bible study, that the scriptures say that when God, think about these words, just think how convicting they are. When God looked out and saw everyone living upon the earth, it says that he saw that every inclination of every heart was on evil all the time. Isn't that crazy? That every inclination of every heart was on evil all the time. And so we find out that God had to do something or we wouldn't be here today. I can guarantee you that if God did not reset, that we would not be here today. Nor would God have had the opportunity to bring the ultimate plan of salvation for man to this earth, Jesus Christ. Evil had ramped up so fast that if there wasn't a reset, we wouldn't have made it. Convinced of that from reading the story of God's Word. You know, Noah, you know the story probably as well as I do. When Noah finally gets off the boat with his family, do you know what he does? Makes an altar. First thing, it was kind of an altar of remembrance, but it also became for him an altar of new beginnings. Here's an interesting phrase, just kind of made it up, but I think it's a good one. When you find your life being altered, make an altar. Make an altar of remembrance so you don't forget God's past faithfulness. Make an altar also to demonstrate that you know God is with you and that you want him with you going forward, and you know the faithfulness of his past will be the faithfulness that he shows you in your future. I really believe that this, again, for many of us, is a time of resetting. I ask him this question, and I'm going to ask you it. And since we have a small group here today, I'm looking for some interaction. I'm looking for some input. And yes, I want you to speak out. This is what I ask him, and I'm going to ask you it now. You know, if you stop and you think, okay, what are some of the lessons or the things that you have come to appreciate or learn through what's been going on for the last 3 months in our world? What are some of the things that you have learned, some of the lessons that you believe God wants us to learn through what is going on in our world now? What would you say? Somebody speak up. Kim, you want to start us off because you already had the forewarning. Share a couple of the things that you said to me today. I'm going to give you a mic because I noticed last week whenever you started speaking on the tape, on the video, they couldn't hear what you were saying. So just share with you, just share a couple of the things quickly, what you had said when I asked you that question, and I want to hear from you too. Is it dead? Well, stand up close to me then. Okay. Oh, this is going to be fun. All right. Oh, now you're ruining it, Ty. I thought I was going to have... No, good. Yeah, give it to me. Thank you very much. All right. Please.
I think, well, there were several things. One of which is family. You know, we had to be separated. And you just realize how much you miss your family and what would it be like if you couldn't be with them. And I said, you know, I know we're a society that needs a touch. We need to hug. We need to we're not designed to not be together. We're just not.
That was just one of the things. I said, you know, I'm in touch with people from China a lot because of the autism connection I have, and they were talking about, you know, how their government just shut them down and they were arrested if they went out, and, you know, and one of the things that I think too is, you know, we got a little taste of what it was like to take our freedoms away, and that we were, you know, being told that we had to stay in and we have to wear masks, and, you know, and what happens when that happens, it causes a rise. And my friends from China said, you know, after 2.5 months of being isolated in their homes on social media or on the internet, which the government had to open up to them, people began to rebel. So that's when the government opened up the country. But we just got a taste of what it would be like to live in a country where you didn't have any kind of freedoms, you know. So those are, I mean, there was a lot of things, but we also had, we've also had a blessing. We've seen blessings at the Journey Center. John and I were both, we were still able to work because we were considered essential employees. And so we were not impacted financially, but I know that there are a lot of people that have been. So I said, it's causing me to reflect on my thankfulness that we were not one of the people that are now struggling. And we need to be grateful how God has taken care of us and has taken care of the Journey Center, that we've been able to continue on and to keep people employed. And, you know, so there's, it's been hard, but yet there's been blessings too. And we need to look at both sides. We need to be thankful. We need to be grateful for what God has done for us in the midst of this and not take that for granted.
Yeah. And I think too that you've learned to be a blessing, because that's what God wants whenever he provides, is to help others. Someone else, who else wants to share? Daniel, I figured you had something.
I'm just thankful. I think so much about the church family, and I really prayed a lot for everybody. And I'm just thankful he didn't take any of us. I know some that were, and close to my son that's a nurse, and we can just be thankful for we're all here and we're all healthy, and God watched out after each and every one of us.
Amen. Yeah. Anyone else? Lessons learned. Something to give thanks for. Something to remember as you go forward. Yes, Josh.
Like, one thing I've noticed is, like, you know, like how we see all that stuff about they're destroying the family unit and stuff. Well, like, I'm thinking in the reverse end, the positive side, this has forced people to be with their families and possibly strengthen the family unit. And my brain had more things to say, but then it forgot them as I walked up.
That's
here.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. That was planned. You know, it was an illustration about memory. See, you know. Thanks, Josh. You reinforced my message today in more ways than one. Yeah, you know, one of the things that, I'm going to put this back down now, okay? All right. Was really seeing people that made sacrifices for others during this time. I think that touched my heart perhaps as much, if not more than anything, during this pandemic, during this situation that we find ourselves in, is just people that were giving of themselves, that were really offering. And, you know, that really is what Memorial Day is all about. You know, the stories, remembering those that were willing to give their lives for something that they believed in. And I was reading story after story the other night. Even some, have you ever bothered to look up some of the Medal of Honor recipients in our nation's history. You want to be inspired by stories of sacrifice, self-giving sacrifice and courage. Just amazing, the stories that you can read. I was reading, too, that during the Second World War, there were two or four different chaplains. George Fox, there was a rabbi, Alexander Good, a priest, Father John Washington, and then a Protestant minister, Reverend Clark Poling. They were actually chaplains, all four, stationed aboard the troop transport ship, the Dorchester. It was struck by a torpedo off the coast of Newfoundland, and the entire crew just began to panic. But these four chaplains, you know, history has recorded for all of us their bravery and their self-sacrifice as they just worked together to calm the men, even giving their own life jackets in the end when they were running out to others, and helping others get into lifeboats as they linked arms and began to sing and say prayers. They actually ended up going down with the ship. The last picture that you read in their story is that they were seen praying for the safety of all the men that did get out alive. You know, we don't forget. We don't forget to the great benefit of God's glory and His kingdom that there have been thousands of people in the history of Christendom that have surrendered their own agendas to pick up the cross and to follow the cross wherever God would cause them to be led. Faraway lands as missionaries, right? Mothers surrendering careers and opportunities to really follow the destiny that God had for them. Fathers the same way, pastors the same way. It's no wonder that when polls are taken to determine the world's most influential and admired figures, guess who comes up on the list? People that have devoted themselves to the service of others, even to the sacrifice of their own lives. St. Francis of Assisi, Mother Teresa, I mean, on and on. Their lives really go against the kind of meism, selfish culture that we find ourselves right in the midst of, right here in America. And we need to understand that's not the way of the cross, amen? The way of the cross teaches us that God loved us so much that He gave Himself, that He provided the ultimate sacrifice for us. You know, one of the things that I always think about when I think about altars is the altar of Elijah on Mount Carmel. You know, I mean, come on. You want to talk about a story that would make any of the action flicks that are going on today pale by comparison. I mean, can you imagine seeing that Deb reenacted? How awesome that would be in a movie to see these 400 prophets of Baal gathered together and this one man, Elijah, the prophet of God, standing alone. And telling them that this was the deal. We're going to make, you know, two altars. And we're going to put a sacrifice on top. And we're going to pray. And the God who answers by fire, let's agree, that will be the true God. And how Elijah let them go first, if you remember. And they cut themselves and slashed themselves and danced and chanted and nothing happened. And Elijah even jeered them, saying, shout louder, maybe your God is sleeping, you know. And then when it was his turn to come up, he had them douse the sacrifice with water over and over again until the water just ran around the trench that was built around the altar. And then he prayed that simple but powerful prayer, and the fire of God fell that day. Amazing story. But, you know, the one thing that's a takeaway for today in this message that has to do with Elijah's altar is that the fire fell on the sacrifice. It always does. Let that sink in for a second. The fire fell on the sacrifice. It always does. We sing a song here, you know, about let your fire fall. And we sing that song in a very positive way, is that we want to be energized, you know, with the fire of God. We want to be filled with that fire. We want to be purified with that fire. We want to be indeed, you know, in that kind of blaze burning for God. And indeed, we need to recognize that the fire always falls on sacrifice. And sacrifice is costly. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, in verse 24, if you remember this story of King David, he had discovered that God actually showed up at the house of the guy that was kind of tending the Ark of the Covenant. David had tried to remove it, but didn't do it the right way, if you remember. So David went down to this guy's house, and he wanted to build an altar there to commemorate. Indeed, was offered that altar by the owner of the place. And you know what David said? No, I will pay you for it. Why? Because I will not offer anything to my God that has not cost me something. Ooh, that'll preach. I will not offer anything to my God that has not cost me something. You know, it is true that that while our salvation is free in the sense that we don't do anything to earn it or deserve it, right? I mean, it's a free gift of God. It's given to us by His grace through His love, and we access it by faith, not by works, lest anyone would boast. That's it. But we also need to remember the words of our Lord, that if anyone then comes after me, he too must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, because we need to learn that the Christian life is a life of sacrifice. But listen to me, it's a life of sacrificing that which is lesser to gain that which is better or more valuable. Remember I told you before, you know, that I'm inspired by the words of John Eliot, the missionary who gave his life sharing the gospel, when he penned these words for all of us to benefit from, when he said, "He is no fool, him who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose." Powerful words, powerful words. But you know, sacrifice is not a popular word today in the Church of God in America. It isn't. You know, we've lost sight of that truth of the power of sacrifice. And I believe that one of the lessons I want to learn out of what has been going on is that there are going to be times when God calls me to make a sacrifice, right? Yeah, to lay down something that I was holding on to be able to pick up something even better. I really pray that that resonates with you, that you can think about that in light of what God wants to speak into your life, particularly during this time, a lesson for you to learn that becomes then an altar of new opportunity as we go forward. So as we conclude here this morning, let me say this, that we all need to become altar builders at this time. And again, two specific types or purposes of altars. We need to make sure we build an altar of remembrance. An altar of remembrance. Now, it doesn't have to be a stones, although that would be cool too. But it can be however you desire. It could be an altar you build in your heart to make sure that you do something, that you remember God's faithfulness that you remember he's been through, he's with you through this. We are going to come out the other side. And we are going to have the tendency to forget. I guarantee you, that's human nature. We're going to have the tendency to forget the lessons that God wanted us to learn through this. Build an altar of remembrance to God's faithfulness. And then second, be willing to allow him to create new opportunities if you're willing to build an altar of sacrifice. Of sacrifice, maybe your own agenda that you were following to pick up the agenda that God has for your life. Maybe this needed to be a reset. I know personally that some of you have actually made that reset. There's someone in our congregation that as a result of what was going on, they made a decision not to return to work, but to stay home. I mean, it's those kind of things that God can speak into our lives during these kind of times. And you know what? It sets us up then for the plan and purposes of God going forward. Some of you are going to be experiencing changes here. Hopefully soon, right? Yeah, exactly. And again, let's remember, God is faithful. It used to be a song that we sang when Kim and I were dating, and it was, "He didn't bring us this far to leave us." You know? "He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away." Right? "He didn't lift us up to let us down." God is faithful. So this Memorial Day, as we remember the faithfulness of many people who have given their lives for our country, have paid the ultimate price so that we can have the freedoms that Kim was talking about, let us remember the God who is behind that spirit of self-sacrifice, to remember the sacrifice he made that you can live today, and to remember that because he lives, we can. But I come to you today saying, Lord, I ask you to continue to speak into my life the things that you want me to learn, the lessons, oh God. I ask you, Father God, to show me the things that you want me to lay down to pick up that which is better. And I pray, Father God, that you help me make an altar of remembrance. That, Lord, going forward, I will remember your faithfulness and I will stand upon your promises, knowing that he who spoke them is faithful and true. And I will be encouraged, O God, because I know you're with me and you're with everyone here today. You're with everyone listening today. And because of that, we have hope. We have hope for a good future, to enter into the plans that you have prepared for us. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the rest of this weekend, that you get a chance maybe to make some memories as well as to remember those that have given and remember God's faithfulness. God bless you all.